Episode 12 is the second part of Chapter 5. On another occasion, the disciples again run afoul of Jesus' mood, and this time of the foul weather as well. This is the calming of the storm story found in Matthew 8, Mark 4, and Luke 8. They're just sailing across the lake when this squall breaks out. Somehow, despite the commotion, Jesus has fallen asleep, so that to get his help, the disciples have to wake him. And he does help them, by having a word with the wind and the waves. Literally, we're told he rebuked or scolded the storm. Bad storm! Down, boy! Jesus also seems to rebuke the disciples, questioning their faith. Similar but different words are used in each of the three Gospels in which the story appears. Mark has Jesus asked, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Matthew has, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" While Luke has simply, "Where is your faith?" The variations are easily explained by different translations into Greek of the probably Aramaic words of Jesus. The disciples then famously ask each other, "What kind of man is this, that even the winds and water obey him?" But why was Jesus so hard on them? It's easy to dismiss the possibility that the storm wasn't that serious, that they were panicking without cause. But these were experienced fishermen, and dangerous squalls can arise without warning on these waters. The text clearly portrays a situation of real danger as well. The boat was being swamped. Now, the disciples could have done a lot worse. Mrs. Baster, my old Sunday school teacher, always taught me that running to Jesus with my problems was a good thing to do. "What a friend we have in Jesus, all my sins and griefs to bear," we'd sing nearly every week. Would it not have been worse for them if they'd tried to deal with the storm using their own sailorly skills without consulting Jesus? If he's grouchy after being woken up by his followers, what kind of mood would he have been in if their self-reliance had dumped him in the drink? Perhaps they were supposed to have used their own faith to calm the storm themselves. "If you have faith the size of a small mustard seed, you could cause this mountain to be hurled into the sea." Well, Luke 17:6, that particular act would have made the sea even rougher, of course. But perhaps Jesus means that they should have been able to do what he did in calming it. It's possible, I guess. Another solution that's sometimes proposed is that the disciples should simply have trusted that Jesus had greater things to do than be lost in a mere squall, and thus God would have been watching over them and not letting them come to grief before his time had come. But I find this hard to accept as well. First, at this stage in the story, they've not really been introduced to the concept of Jesus' mission and destiny, involving a necessary trip to Jerusalem and a stormy end there. More significantly, though, they seem to already have had the notion that God would protect him, so much so that Jesus has to rebuke them for that. When Jesus told Peter that his mission included going to Jerusalem to suffer and be put to death, Peter instantly responded, "Never, Lord." Matthew 16:21-22. And yet, perhaps what's going on in this story is a combination of these two. They approach Jesus for help, as the gospel writers probably think that they should. To that extent, they're doing the right thing. But in the story, they do so not with an attitude of faith, but with an attitude of panic. "We're going to drown." Mark 4:38 goes so far as to have the disciples question Jesus' interest in them. "Don't you care if we drown?" Now, faith is different from belief. Belief is impersonal assent. Faith is trust. The disciples' defect is not the belief that the storm is deadly, nor the belief that Jesus could change things, as implied by their waking him and virtually blaming him. Their beliefs are in order. It is their faith that seems to have deserted them, their trust in and devotion to their master. Thus, I think that answering "what should they have done?" with answers about their attitude towards the storm or themselves are answers that miss the point. The real problem is their attitude toward Jesus. "Don't you care about me at all?" is not a question you ask someone you're really connecting with. but rather a pretty good indicator that you're not as close as you should be. All this is a long way from the meek and mild Jesus that we've heard and read so much about. The usual antidote for the pale, anemic, agreeable, sentimental Jesus is to look at how he dealt with opponents, especially those money changers in the temple. Whip in hand, the outraged Jesus drove them forcibly out of his father's house. John 2:15. But here we see him as abrasive or sharp, even with his closest friends, those whom he loved and who loved him enough to leave their nets and follow. Perhaps it's more sharp than abrasive. Jesus is certainly not being difficult for the sake of it, nor is it easy to believe that it's just a matter of him being grouchy because he got up on the wrong side of the boat. His sharpness underlines the miracle. And the result is that the disciples are shaken. My friend Steve Moody says that they are shaken but not stirred, when they should have been stirred but not shaken. They are not wounded by Jesus' words. His aim is not to punish them. They are shocked and astonished, and we leave them considering, what manner of man is this? He's tough on the disciples in order to prod them to do better. His remarks seem cutting, but they're probably best regarded as pruning, cutting back in order to stimulate growth. As we've seen with the parables, Jesus teaches by provoking people to reconsider their situations. What kind of man is this? The disciples are in a period of the gospel where they must consider this question carefully. It won't be long before they'll be given their midterm exam, when Jesus will ask, "Who do you say that I am?" A question we'll discuss in more detail later. The order and sequence is instructive. In Mark's gospel, the disciples ask themselves, "What kind of man?" in Mark 4. But Mark 8 contains some of the other stories we've discussed. Chapter 8 contains the incident about bread and the boat. Don't you remember? When I fed 5,000, when I fed the 4,000? Do you still not understand? And Mark 8 also contains the midterm exam. Who do you say that I am? But positioned right between those two incidents is the story with which we started. In between rebuking the disciples and asking them that central gospel question comes the story of the blind man. Jesus touches him once, and he's no longer blind, then touches him again to give him full and clear sight. Perhaps the story is not about how Jesus had trouble healing some kinds of blindness. Perhaps it's a deliberate comment on the disciples' own coming to full sight. The story of the two-stage gift of eyesight is the perfect introduction to that question about the extent of the disciples' insight. Who do you say that I am? You've been listening to one of my books called Jesus Asked. Zondervan gave me permission to read you the whole book in weekly episodes. To subscribe or to get the other episodes, just fire up the iTunes Music Store and search for GEMPF, G-E-M-P-F. And then click on the picture. You can also get the MP3s from my website. Just do a web search with the words GEMPF and podcast. This book and my others are available from Amazon. The synthesizer background music is by William Fields at teamtechno.com, used through the Creative Commons licensing scheme. The acoustic surf guitar music is used with the permission of Paul Johnson of the Duotones. Visit him at pjmoto.com. Thanks for listening.